Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, December 12th. You see, the date is back on CNN because they changed their site back. Did you notice?
I didn't notice it.
Yeah. Yesterday, CNN came out with a new website. Today, it's gone. I don't know what's going on, but I like the old one better, so I'm feeling okay this morning.
I'm good.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. The rain seems to be over for now.
It's so weird.
Isn't it, though? I mean, it was pouring this morning.
Right. On my drive here, I was like, okay, I get it. I get why it's been a news story, because there's so much of it.
Right.
And driving on the hills, it's a little scary because you're driving like through these large puddles that then spray on the car that's coming in the opposite direction, and they're doing the same to you, and it's like, right, who can see? And then you're driving on these hills, so it's
right, and it's curvy roads and everything,
right.
So yeah.
And then of course I get on the other side of the hill and it's like sunshine and a little sprinkling, and I'm in rain boots, didn't do makeup or hair because I'm like, well, I'm gonna get rained on.
Right, huh?
I look like a hobo.
But yeah, I mean, it started pouring last night, and I figured by the morning it'd probably be gone, you know?
Right.
Because we never get to enjoy the rain here. I mean, it always rains at night.
Right.
I don't know what's going on, you know? I mean, I love the rain. I felt bad that many people have to drive far to work and everything in the rain and stuff. But it's fun. I mean, I love rain, you know?
We
could
too.
Use more of it.
I just like change, so...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, to have one rainy night in 364 regular ones, then I'm okay
it's
with it.
Not a bad thing.
No.
I know. So, but I mean, Northern California really got it bad. I mean, you know, they many people lost their power and everything. And
I actually have a girlfriend that called me this morning. She lives in on the east side, and she said that she lost power last night.
Really?
And this morning still didn't have power. She's like, I have 1% left on my cell phone, so I can talk to you until my phone dies.
Wow. And that's here in LA?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's in Los Feliz.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, very interesting. I didn't realize it was that bad. You know, I mean, I saw it pour and everything.
Yeah, apparently there were evacuation areas and things.
Really?
Like that.
Yeah, I got like a flash flood warning on my phone this morning.
Oh, that really annoying sound that comes out from the Weather Channel or something. It's like... It's like an Amber Alert, but it's for the weather.
Yeah. I don't know. It comes in as a text, I think, doesn't it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know there's a setting on my phone that I have not figured out yet how to turn off, but it makes a very like loud blasting sound.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what they usually use on TV, I think.
Yeah.
When they have flash floods, right?
Yeah.
It comes in and there's a really high-pitched
It's an emergency sound.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very scary.
It is.
Like, that's more scary than the flash flood.
It definitely makes you feel it's an emergency, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, we really need the rain. And they're saying it's actually going to put a dent in the drought. So, that's not bad.
No, that's good.
Yeah. And they're saying it's going to rain more next week. But, you know, right now we're looking outside and the sky is kind of blue.
It is.
So, I don't know if it's going to rain anymore, but...
Well, it keeps changing because it was just blue and now there's some clouds coming in. So I wonder if it's going to rain again and then go away.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind it. It's already a rainy day. So
I've committed to a rainy day today. So if it rains,
exactly.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wanted to because, like, I've prepared.
It's funny how we talk so much about rain here. You know, that's the most we ever get.
Right. It's like the biggest news story in all of California.
I know. People are like, what the hell are they talking about? You know?
It's all perspective, guys. Just it here, really we
is.
Never get it, so
yeah,
that's why it's a big deal.
It's all relative, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to talk about dating and relationships and stuff.
I'm pretty excited about this topic.
Yeah?
Yeah, because cool. This is something that, you know, on the Two Drunk Girls show that I host with my friend Lauren, we talk about a lot because we're single in LA. We're, you know, attempting to date online on these apps that keep coming out. Just in general, being set up by people that, you know, introduce us to people. It's like we have so many questions and not enough answers, and everybody has their own, you know, suggestion or what worked for them or their weird negative perspective because of, you know, being tortured by dating in LA. Yeah. So I'm interested to hear what our guest has to say.
Yeah. So how do you find dating in LA? I mean, is it harder, easier than in Miami?
Sam, it's awful.
Is it really? Why is that?
Because I have a feeling that people date up. And I've seen this firsthand, but everybody wants to like kind of keep the door open and the option to date somebody else if a better looking person or a more successful person comes around.
Wow.
So, you know, while I may host a radio show, somebody else may be in movies and like, it's like, bye Jen, sorry. See ya. Yeah, that's what we get.
And really?
Nobody's happy with what they have. It's like the grass is always greener. Yeah. Or people here also are aspiring. Mm. So they're not fully committed to the idea of having a relationship. They want to focus on their career and getting ahead and relationships and real, you know, social interaction with people and caring about them as individuals kind of comes second, maybe third.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even fourth. I don't know. It's not a high list of priorities.
Wow. So it's hard to find someone steady that you can actually count on and trust and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting, you know, because, I mean, there's so many people in this town. You'd think you'd meet some decent people. You
would
know?
Think so.
Yeah, you would.
Strength in numbers. But I will tell you, I have dated a lot in this city, and I am still single.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening, but.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with being single, you know.
No.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of benefits to it.
I will say I'd rather be single than be in a bad situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've had those too, and I've also seen plenty of friends in terrible relationships or like have bad experiences with people, and it's like, who wants that hassle, the drama? Not me, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true, you know. So you never know, but I guess eventually everybody looks for a relationship, you know. I don't know why, but people do. I guess we just, we're sort of like, I guess social animals in more ways than one.
Yes.
You know, we have to be with somebody. But I'm doing just fine on my own, you know. I mean, I've been on my own for over a year now. After ending my marriage, and I'm doing just fine.
Well, that's good with you. The desire to like,
Get
out there
I like the freedom and stuff. You know, I mean, it's like it's liberating after so many years when you don't have it,
right?
You know.
Well, I feel like you could have a balance of freedom, but also like, you know, bring somebody into your life,
right?
Just got to keep that balance. That's the tricky part.
Yeah, that's very tricky.
Right.
It's very tricky because you know, I mean, you're tempted to do everything together, but I don't think it's a good idea.
No, I don't either.
You know?
No, you have to be two individuals in a relationship.
Right. But some people don't look at it this way, unfortunately, you know. Some women are like, you know, we have to become one, you know. And it's like, so what happens when we separate? We'll be two halves.
Right, exactly. You know? You went in as two individuals and you leave as a shell of yourself.
Basically. Yeah.
There's got to be a happy medium. I'm sure there's like, you know, some guide rule book possibly that our guest wrote even because she wrote what sounds like a very interesting book. That says like, okay, when you get into a relationship, this is how you set up the foundation. Then as you're in the relationship and you're like, you know, hitting those milestones, getting more serious, this is how you keep the balance. There has to be something out there. If not, I'm going to write it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I haven't actually figured it out yet, but as I do, I will write it down and then I will write a book.
Yeah, there you go. Do you have a book in you?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
And relationships and stuff, or
no,
fiction?
Not fiction.
Not fiction.
I don't even like fiction, but it's more. I would write a book, possibly about my story and like how I started in the working field and what keeps me afloat and my tips and tricks to success.
Yeah, there you go. See, everybody's got ideas and stuff, you know. Good, then you should do it.
I should.
You know, yeah, like set up a time and get started. You know, that's what they say about writing a book. Because to me, it seems like such an insurmountable project that, you know, I'm like a sprinter. I'm not like a long distance runner.
Neither am I.
Yeah, it's like, give me something that I can finish quickly.
Right.
You know, and books are not like that. You
know, I like instant gratification.
Yeah.
Like when I think of a tweet, I write it, it's there, and it's posted. Bye.
Yeah.
Only 140 characters. I actually started a blog called Growing Up Golden.
Uh-huh.
Because of my last name.
Wow.
And that was my compromise, because I'm like, I'm not going to sit down and write a book. Let's be honest. The patience there, just out the door. But I did write a blog for a while. I think I did it for like 2 years. It exists online. It's growingupgolden.com.
Yeah.
And I've sort of neglected it.
Yeah. I know after a while you just go, you know, I can't keep doing this all the time. You know?
No. Well, the thing is I also started hosting. So I'm like, well, I'm talking and I can't write too. This is just too much I'm putting out there.
Yeah.
My energy level is like depleted at that point. I'm tired of talking. So now I talk instead of write.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Maybe one day I'll revisit the writing, or if somebody wants to write it for me, by all means.
I know. It's easy to communicate when you write, though, because then you have the time to think about it and everything. You know?
Yeah, but then you get into that issue where you overthink.
Right.
Like, I would overthink, and then I'd rewrite, and I'd edit, and then I wouldn't post, and then it would just be a whole thing.
Right. Well, at least get started and see where it takes you, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody's got a book in them, you know, at least their lives. Everybody's got fascinating life when
Absolutely.
You think about it, you know. And everybody's got stories, you know. We get guests here all the time. And some people have similar stories, you know, but some are totally, like, bizarre and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I want to hear about those. That's why I don't like fiction.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear people's real-life stories. I love things that are based on a true story. Tell me more.
Yeah, I know. Well, we actually might have a guest next week who talks about reading and things like that, you know, how it can improve your performance in life and everything. So we haven't finalized that yet, but that's cool, you know, because I love to read.
I don't.
And
I need
you
to,
don't
though.
Love to read?
I need to love it. I need to learn to love it.
Well, I don't know if you can do that. You know, you either have it or you don't.
Okay,
you know?
So then I can just give up now?
Yeah, like, might as well.
I don't like reading. Sorry. Just not that person, I guess.
Okay, don't take my advice. But
you heard it here today. I quit reading.
Yeah,
Sam
I know.
Says.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
I know. No, I can't stop reading. And in fact, I prefer it to TV and everything. So I don't watch much TV as a result. But do you ever watch 2 1/2 Men?
No.
You don't waste your time on that, huh?
Well, you know what? I wanted to because I know that it's funny.
Yeah.
Kind of like I know the Big Bang Theory is funny. Like I know that How I Met Your Mother is funny. But I never got into them. So I feel like I'm so far behind.
Right.
That I can't start committing to that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm so committed to other things right now, Sam.
Yeah.
Like The Rain. And all those other reality shows I watch.
Yeah, huh?
I'm busy.
That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit of reality.
Do you watch 2 1/2 Men?
Yeah, so I did last night. And I mean, that show is totally like gone off the deep end there. And
it's been maybe on for a long time.
Yeah, and maybe it's because it's the final season, you know. Mm. So, I mean, the guys like get married and pretend to be like a couple and stuff so they can adopt a kid and all that stuff. And just bizarre things. And I'm going, yeah, they're like ready to leave.
Call it quits. I say go out before it gets bad.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
They decided to take the storyline totally bizarre. So, but it's still funny, you know. I mean, so that's one of the few shows that I watch, but that's not going to be around anymore.
Aww.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, Ashton Kutcher came in and he's sort of like, you know, people don't like the show since Charlie Sheen left and when Ashton Kutcher came on board. But I thought it was still funny. Still a funny show. It's different.
Yeah.
You know, it's different from when Charlie was there.
What is the role that Ashton plays on the show?
He plays like a, let's see, how does it, did he buy the house? I don't know, but I think he bought the house or something. He's a rich guy, like a millionaire tech guy or something, entrepreneur. And I think he bought the house that Charlie used to live in. And then, you know, the Charlie's brother stayed there and he stayed with him and he's like a leech, you know. So so they both still live in that Malibu house.
Got it.
Yeah.
But they're not related. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, no, they're not related.
Because when you said they're pretending to be married, I was like, wait, aren't they supposed to be related? But no, I didn't know what he played.
No, they're not related.
Where did they say Charlie went?
He died.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
he died.
Sad.
They killed him off
that's
in
really,
an accident.
It's really abrasive.
I know.
Oh, God.
But they were pissed at that time, you know?
Yeah, they're just like, die.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Like the writers sitting in a room being like, okay, how are we going to torture this character since we can? All the power in the world.
I know. He totally left the show, man. And yeah, he had He had sort of a long rant. I don't know what his problem was, but then he explained
the whole tiger blood thing.
Yeah.
And winning.
And winning.
Listen, I will say winning forever now because of Charlie Sheen. That was a good line that he came up with. Yeah. Winning.
I know, man. I don't know what he's doing these days. Does he still act in anger management? Is that still on?
I have no idea. And then he was doing like a tour, a comedy tour.
Yeah. Well, that was when he was still going through his
tiger blood
manic thing. Yeah.
Right. And then he had like seven girlfriends at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what happened to that guy, but it's probably good that he's out of the public eye.
Yeah. Huh?
And then he'll resurface and it'll be like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's what supposedly he says now, and he's supposedly okay now, but I don't know. I haven't heard from him lately.
I might look into that.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know. Have you heard of this? I did a double take on Facebook yesterday because somebody posted this a link to the story about an actor accused of killing, skinning, and then eating his ex-girlfriend's pet rabbit.
That is so absurd.
It is. And this guy, his name is Dmitry Dyachenko. And I guess he's been on several episodes of Sons of Anarchy. And so apparently this is like a... this is like that Fatal Attraction thing. That's a movie.
Oh my God, he's like a bunny boiler.
Yeah. Yeah, bunny boiler.
That is my favorite reference.
Yeah. There we go. Our call is coming in, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Duena?
This is Duena. How are you, Sam?
Good. Duena Welch. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for saying my first name properly. I love you already.
Of course. Well, I figured that, you know, I mean, it's got to be said probably like Duane, but Duena, you know. So I took a chance on that, and I was right. So that's a good thing. I know.
Yes,
I don't,
it is.
I don't like butchering people's names. Duena, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. Austin. Have you been to Austin, Jennifer?
I have not, but I want to go. Everyone has great things to say about it.
Yeah, I know. I've been there once for a convention, and it was an amazing place, you know, very, a lot of music, partying, things like that, right?
Good food,
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have some really great nature stuff. People don't come here for that, but it's a really great reason to come. Town Lake is gorgeous, and we've got wonderful food. Actually, I should say, don't come to Austin. You'll hate it. We're getting about 120 people moving here a day, I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You don't have much room left, huh?
Well, not, you know, I used to live in L.A., actually, so Austin's a tiny place compared to L.A.
That's true. So how did you wind up there?
My family is from here, and I wanted to be close to them. So, you know, one of the two standard reasons people move,
that's
job,
true.
Family.
Yep. So you grew up there, and then you moved to L.A.?
Yes. Well, I grew up in Central Texas, and then I went and got my Ph.D. at the University of Florida in Gainesville.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to California to be a professor, and then I came back here.
Oh, wow. So you are a professor here. A professor of what?
Psychology at Cal State Fullerton.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So, I mean, what drew you to California out of all places? The weather or?
Truly, it was the place that the job was.
Oh, okay.
My PhD is in memory and aging. I know it has nothing to do with my book or what I do now, but that's what my doctorate's in, and they offered me a job and allowed me to have my own large research program at Cal State Fullerton. So for years, that's what I did.
Wow, very interesting stuff.
That is very interesting.
So you investigate like relationship between aging and memory?
I did. I looked at things like, do stereotypes actually cause memory to get worse, or do stereotypes simply reflect reality? And we found out that stereotypes actually cause your memory to get worse. They're not just associated with worse memory.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it inevitable that people, as they age, they lose some of their memory?
It's not inevitable. If you exercise about half an hour a day throughout your life, I think it's a fairly new long-term study has shown that those folks don't exhibit memory loss. It's wonderful.
Wow.
But anyway, now that's not actually what I do anymore. What I do now is I take relationship science and I make it usable for people who aren't academic nerds like me.
Yeah. Now, what's relationship science?
Well, so let me just, do you mind if I just tell you how I got into this?
No, go ahead. That's what we want to know.
Okay, well, the thing is, I'm a real nerd. I mean, I went to school from the age of 5 to the age of 30, and then I became a professor.
Wow.
You love school.
So this is my thing. Being a nerd is my thing. And I realize not everybody feels that way about academics, but I loved it. And yet, my love life was terrible. It was just train wreck after train wreck. And I thought, gosh, for, you know, a fairly smart girl, I seem to be pretty dumb. What am I doing wrong? And so I thought, as nerds will, I wonder if there's any science about this. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that there were, you know, 50, 60 years of really excellent science on relationships. So I began learning it for my own benefit, and my book that's coming out applies it for everyone's benefit.
Very cool. Now, the book is called Love Factually, and so tell us a little bit about the book.
So the book is for anyone, male, female, gay, straight, anyone who's an adult, who wants more love in their life. They want to find the right person. They want to make a commitment. It's not for people who kind of want to play the field. It's more for a commitment-minded person. And it's not a science book. I figure if people wanted to read the science, they would just go read the science. It's an advice book, but it's based on science. So anything I say that's factual in it, there'll be a number after that, and it tells you exactly where to go in the back of the book to see the research. But it reads like kind of, one reviewer said it was like having Malcolm Gladwell and Brené Brown gene spliced with Dear Abby and the Rules. It's a very easy-to-read, user-friendly kind of guide that breaks the process down into 10 really doable steps. Anyone can do these steps.
Wow.
I actually think I really need this book. I can't. And I love the title. It's a play on the movie Love Actually, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I need to read this. Like tomorrow.
Thank you. And you know what? You and I haven't been introduced. Tell me who you are.
Yes, I'm Jennifer.
That's Jennifer, and she's the co-host on the show.
Oh, hey, Jennifer. It's nice to meet you in voice and not just in email.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you want the book. This is the book that I needed, and I guess Freud would say it's a form of wish fulfillment for me, because I feel like as I wrote it, all the pain of the past was dissipated as I thought about all these people who aren't going to have to go through that.
Yeah.
That's great. And I can't wait to read it. And thank you for saving me the trouble of going through those pains.
Right.
Oh, good.
So
I can't wait to hear how it works for you. For you, I should say. Yeah, and as far as the title, I have to give all that credit to Frank Flaherty, who was my editor. He was an editor for 20 years at the New York Times. And he edited this book and turned it into something that I think is very exciting, and he came up with the title. He's just brilliant.
Very cool, very cool. Was it easy for you to find a publisher for the book?
It actually was, yeah.
Oh,
no. So Love Science Media is the publisher, small publisher based here in Austin, Texas, and all the stuff they publish is science-based for the popular press, and my selling point was, with them and with others, was that, you know, for marriage, there are actually some excellent science-based books that are user-friendly, where people don't need to have any science background to understand how to use science to make their marriage better. The most famous one is John Gottman's book, The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work. Just phenomenal. I give that book away like candy.
Oh, wow.
I love that book. But for dating, there was nothing like that. There wasn't anything science-based at all. The closest I ever found, there were some books that talked a lot about science but didn't give advice, or there were books that gave advice about a really small area of the dating process, like what's your personality like that. Like Helen Fisher has a really good book, Why Him, Why Her, where she goes into how your personality determines who you're attracted to. But it's not really an advice book. It more describes things. And I really wanted a start to finish. Here's the headwork you need to do before you even meet or even consider whether you're sure you want to meet someone, all the way up to should we move in, should we get married, the decision process, the whole thing. And there wasn't anything like that. And so it wasn't that hard to sell the idea because there was a clear need.
Right. Now, have you used some of these in your own life? I mean, have you seen it actually improve your lifestyle?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I use them all. I did not tell my husband when we met that I knew all this stuff.
He didn't want to be analyzed.
Yeah. I did not tell him that I knew all of this. But I had already learned the relationship science pretty thoroughly before he and I met. And he and I are very happy. His name's Vic Harrington. And we are coming up on our 7th anniversary. And I'm just delighted with him every day.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Very
7 years.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah. Now, do you have any advice for people with like online dating and things like that? Because, you know, I mean, people get online. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I need help.
Okay. Well, so I want to tell you some good news about online dating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not only did I meet my husband there, which I thought was a fluke. I thought, oh, this is weird. Nobody meets their mate online. But a huge research project, the Harris Report, the Harris Survey, found that in the past decade, over a third of Americans met not just someone they dated, they met the person they married online.
Wow, one third.
One third.
Wow.
And I actually got to interview Neil Clark Warren, eHarmony's founder, about those results at an article I wrote for Psychology Today. And I asked Neil Clark Warren what he thought about it. And he, of course, was very optimistic that in the future 70% of people will meet their partner this way. Of course, I don't know if he's right. But what was really interesting about the Harris survey was the people who met online didn't just meet their mate online. They were happier than people who met their partner any other way. They were happier than people who met at bars, restaurants, church, social functions, through friends and family, any other way.
Wow.
Why is that?
Well, I got to interview the lead researcher for the Harris Survey. His name is John Cacioppo, and he's a great guy. He's probably the most famous researcher in the world for the impact of loneliness on our lives. And he was the lead scientist for the Harris Survey. And Dr. Cacioppo told me that, first of all, it's a small impact. It's not like people are immensely happier who meet online compared to meeting through friends and family. It's a small impact. Because when you think about it, in the huge picture of who we love, how we meet is just a small piece of it. So we wouldn't expect the impact to be huge.
Right.
But he also said that when you meet online, there are a number of barriers that are kind of instantaneously overcome. So one of them is the question, are you looking for someone? You know, if you meet at a party, you don't know for sure. It's kind of awkward outing yourself as someone who's looking for a partner.
Right.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you meet online, that conversation doesn't even have to happen. You're looking for a partner. Also, a number of studies have revealed that people actually tell more of the truth online than they do in person, which that just blew me away.
Yeah.
I just thought people were going to lie online.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can say anything, so why don't you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, but what Dr. Cacioppo told me, and then I later read the studies, of course, being the nerd I am, and found out, yeah, he's, of course, absolutely right. He told me that people actually are more self-disclosing. They feel, I guess, because they haven't really met in person and they don't have much risked or invested yet. It's kind of like trolls on the internet. You know how people will just let their ugly all come out on news feeds where they're using a fake name?
Right. Right.
Well,
yeah, like in
social networks.
When you're
using your real name on a dating site, people somehow feel they're a bit more anonymous and a bit safer to reveal more. And so you just kind of jump through those hoops of dating a little bit more cleanly and easily.
Interesting. Which site did you use to find your husband?
I used three. I did.
Wow.
And I recommend this in my book. I say just like a really great fisherman usually doesn't use just one line.
That's true. That's true. So
you cover your bases.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. To mix our metaphors here, we cover our bases and use more than one line. And so I use three sites, and I really recommend them all. And actually, I think JDate is another good one, although I didn't do that because I'm a shiksa.
Yeah.
But my husband is Jewish.
Yeah.
And so it turns out that most of the women on JDate apparently are not Jewish. They're just looking for a Jewish guy.
Oh, wow.
Smart
funny.
Women. Smart women.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But what I used was eChemistry. I also used Match.com, and I used eHarmony.com. And Vic and I met on eHarmony. But I got to tell you, I usually don't. I don't recommend eHarmony to everyone. There's no one site I recommend for everyone. It really depends who you are. I go into the details in the book, but if you cast a number of lines, then it won't matter. You're going to meet good people.
That's true, yeah. I mean, you know, I met my second wife on JDate, and that was, you know, that was a great thing, you know. I mean, I never expected to find anyone and let alone marry them, you know, from a dating site. But you're right, you know. I mean, but you know what? I also think, though, that it's harder in a way as well, because people have like laundry lists of what they want, you know. And when you meet someone like at a party or introduced by someone, there's other things that attract you to that person,
right.
You know, not necessarily their eye color or background or religion or any of that. You know, there's just that connection. Whereas online, it's more like methodical, you know. I mean, there's more like, it's more like science.
Yes. Yeah. You've actually, yeah. And isn't it funny? Two out of the three of us have met someone we married online.
Right. Well, maybe Jennifer will too. Who knows?
My issue with dating online is that I tend to, like, for instance, with Tinder, with the swiping right and swiping left, I'll swipe right on somebody because they appear to be somebody I would like. But if I met them in person, that's not necessarily the case. Like,
right.
I didn't really like blondes for a while. And all of a sudden I'm like, when I meet them in person, because I actually meet them and can connect with them and, you know, feel the chemistry or not, now I'm like, oh, a whole new world of people with a different hair color that I never even considered before. So for me, online dating, I'm like, I just don't even trust myself anymore. I'm like, am I picking the right people or not? Somebody should do this for me.
Yeah. Well, pick up the book. Maybe that will
help.
That's
what I need.
Bit.
I need your book. And I love science, too. I'm like, there has to be a method to this madness.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, I read a lot of dating advice books because I enjoy that. But I got really frustrated wondering which things that sounded logical I could trust and which things I couldn't trust. And it turned out that there was a lot of cultural lore that, when I started learning about the science, actually was contrary to my best interest. Things that most people today really believe at this solid core gut level that is not serving us well. And so a lot of stuff that's in the book, I guess you could qualify as kind of myth busting.
Right.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
Like what? Can you tell us one?
Okay, so right now, research shows that the United States has the most independent culture in the world. That is, people identify as very independent. Dependence, to quote another scientist, Sue Johnson, dependence has become a dirty word in Western society. We don't want to depend on anyone.
That's
and
true.
This has led a lot of people to think, for example, that cohabitation is just as good an arrangement as marriage is. And, of course, the word good is a very laden term. What do we mean by good? But here's what I would mean by good. I would mean, this is what I would want, and research suggests it's what most of us would want. I want to become healthier. I want to become happier. I want to live a longer time, and I want the years of my life that I live to be to have a very short period of illness right at the end. I don't want a long period of disability.
Right.
I want to have more assets. I want to have a career that grows and challenges me and makes more money. I want to feel happier and more satisfied with my whole life in addition to with a married partner. I want my children, I have a child, I want her to thrive and to form her own satisfying, successful relationships. And I want my future generations of my family to do well. I think everyone wants these things.
Yes.
That's true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that if you ask people and you give them that list, we all want this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. You don't get it with cohabitation. Flat out, do not get it. You don't get any of it with cohabitation. You get it with marriage.
Oh,
lots and lots of studies show that marriage does that for people, but you know what our current culture tells us is marriage is a ball and chain. It's dangerous because you're going to wind up miserable. You're definitely going to wind up divorced. You're going to be less healthy. You're going to be less happy. You're going to have devastation for your children. And so I don't know why, but marriage has terrible PR, and the science behind marriage shows that if everyone really understood what that was about, people would be like, how can I get this deal?
Right.
Yeah. Because they do scare you now with these like percentages of divorce. So it's like, okay, well, I know that I know specific people that are like, I'm going to wait until I find the person for me. So they're in their 40s, unmarried, waiting for that, you know, miracle person to show up so that they'd never get divorced. But I mean, I don't know that that person's ever going to come at this point.
You know, to some extent, finding the right person is a legitimate concern, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people who get divorced are not being careful enough about their standards when they first meet. And I go into why that is in the book as well, and how people can reverse their thinking so they can appropriately find a good partner. Because it's finding a good partner, is it should be easier than it's ever been, truly.
Yeah, that's
true.
There's
so many tools. Like, how could it not be?
Right.
How could it not be? And most people live in big cities, and there are just more options. But it turns out that having more options paralyzes a lot of people. They feel overwhelmed with choice, or they live in a city like L.A. that's so densely populated that they feel, ironically, quite alone.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that sometimes I struggled with that when I've lived in really big cities.
Right.
So part of it is finding the right person, like you're saying. Part of it's being the right person.
Interesting.
And what I'd like to say to everybody out there is, you know, yeah, it's true, 47% of first marriages end in divorce. And with second marriages, it's often as high as 75%.
Wow. So people don't really learn.
Yeah. However, 53% of first marriages last an entire lifetime.
Right.
And even when you've got the stress of two people bringing kids and in-laws, and they never had the honeymoon period without family concerns and all that, even when you have that, you've got one in four that it lasts the rest of their lives. And I'd like to add this one more thing. It turns out that people who really know what they're doing make better choices, and they're the ones who they last for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another myth for you. So people think love is enough. This is another huge cultural myth that we have. Love is enough. All you need is love. If you fall in love, that's so rare that you have to hang on to it. You can't fall in love with anyone who's bad for you. All of this is false.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can fall in love with people who are just absolutely wrong for you. Haven't you done it? I've done it.
Yeah. I definitely did that.
Yeah, we fall in love for the wrong reasons, maybe. Who knows?
Well, or for no reason at all. I mean, the fact is, you know, we can be really hot for someone and really emotionally bonded to someone that really, you know, maybe in ancient times, we wouldn't have lived long enough to find out what a mismatch it would be.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
But now we're, you know, having partnerships that go on for 50 or 60 years. I remember being a young woman and saying to my friends, when I heard about somebody's 70th wedding anniversary, I said, I don't even want to know anyone for 70 years. Never mind being married for that long.
God, yeah. Well, this is all fascinating stuff, Duana. We're talking to Duana Welch, and the book is Love Factually. And why don't you give out the website so people can find it and find out more information about you and the book?
Sure. So you can find me and my book at www.lovefactually.co. Not .com. If you go to .com, I don't know where you're going to end up.
Right.
But so go to lovefactually.co, and we do have a free chapter you can download there. And the book has recently become available for pre-order, which you can also opt for there if you find that you love the first chapter.
Sounds good. So this hasn't been released yet, right? It's going to be published when, in January?
Yeah, it's come out in audio. Let's see, it's going to be on iTunes, ACX, and Audible.com on January 7th. It will also be at Amazon.com in audio, ebook, and paperback on January 7th.
Very cool.
A good gift to give your friends for the holidays.
And a lot of endorsements and stuff for the book. Then definitely go out and get it. Love Factually, 10 Proven Steps from I Wish to I Do. Duana Welch, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Fascinating
stuff. Oh, you two are delightful. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And all the best with the book and everything. And come back and let us know when you have the second book coming out.
All right. My next one's going to be for single parents who are looking to find love. It's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, you're fascinating.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks,
thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, You know, there's always new things to learn, huh?
I am certainly going to read that book and let you know what I think, because okay. I definitely need it. I already downloaded the first chapter while we were talking. Can't wait.
Yeah. And during the call, we noticed this beautiful rainbow. Did you see it?
I saw it, and I was going to take a picture, but I was like, oh, it'll be there when we leave. It's
yeah,
gone.
Exactly. It's gone now. Beautiful, beautiful rainbow.
Beautiful.
So it looks like the clouds are back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that just means that a rainbow will be back as well.
Yeah.
We're chasing the storm here in LA. It's yeah. Very scintillating.
I know. People will listen to this a year from now. It's like, who cares?
Right. Like, why was that anything?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Jay, I ate a pizza and it rained. Cool.
So, yeah. So going back to that actor accused of killing the pet rabbit.
Yeah.
That so he denies this. He says that he actually went and bought rabbit meat and cooked that instead. But the they're saying that he took pictures of the entire thing, like as he was cooking and eating the rabbit and everything. So some people are like, and this is an ex to his. He did this to his ex girlfriend who didn't want to live with him anymore.
I can't imagine why she wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wonder what Dwayna would have to say about this relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. God. People do some weird things.
Very dysfunctional people, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Wow. So we were talking about apps and everything. Did you ever meet anybody through Tinder?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I went on a bunch of Tinder dates.
Really? So it's actually not just a game. I mean, people actually act on it.
Well, I think that there's probably people that do both, because like I have one on my phone, and at this point it serves as a purpose to remind me that there's other people out there.
Yeah.
So like if something goes wrong with someone, I'm like, oh, well, here's the option. I can go back on the site. So it's not all that bad. Like there's not nobody out there.
Right.
You know, and I don't lose hope. So I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
To each
have you been on dating sites at all, other than like Tinder and stuff like that?
I did go on JDate.
Uh-huh.
And then I just didn't really act on it. Because I also have a fear of strangers. Like if somebody can't verify that they know this person or give me a background story on them.
Right.
Or...
You know, but isn't that the case on Tinder where you don't know anything about them?
That's the case, but then it also shows you have mutual friends and you can then ask people around about them.
Oh, really?
I just, I'm afraid of being catfished too.
Yeah. Huh?
And like going to meet somebody and them being a completely different person.
Yeah, I know. And that happens.
Yeah. And you know what? Also hosting and like interviewing and reporting. I feel like I'm interviewing people all day long. When I go on a date, the last thing I want to do is ask them questions.
Right.
I'm
you like, want to talk about yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, can we just like skip all that and pretend we know each other really well and like go cuddle?
Right.
I'm like over it at that
point. You see, but that's the thing. Some people are like, oh, he's too concerned with himself. He didn't ask me anything about me.
Right.
You know, so... You need to find sort of a balance there, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they came on the date and they didn't ask about you, wouldn't that concern you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So you have to report.
I think I'm just over dating for now. I'm so lazy. I'm busy. Go away.
Yeah. So now there's an app that lets you wake up with a stranger.
What?
Yeah. It's called Wakey. And what it is that, well, it's not, I mean, the headline is sort of like grabbing, but basically what it is that you join that app and then somebody calls to wake you up in the morning.
Who is this person?
Anybody. Anybody, you know, I mean, there's just like probably a list of people and, you know, maybe like Tinder or something. And you go through people and you go, oh, I want to call this person and wake them up in the morning. So, I mean, obviously it allows you to meet them, but you don't see their phone number. They don't see your phone number. So it's pretty safe, you know.
Fascinating. I am going to need to look into this further.
Yeah.
I actually just recently heard about an app called Happn.
Happn?
It's Happn, uh-huh. Where you sort of have it like running on your phone the whole day. And let's say you go to the grocery store and you and this person happened to pass each other, but you didn't speak, you didn't know each other, you have no idea what each other's name is. The app will alert you, like you and this person both went to this place today. Are you interested?
Oh, wow.
If yes, and you're both, you know, if you both pick yes, it will then alert you and open a chat. So you can then speak to the person that you didn't have the guts to go up to in person.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. It's like Serendipity, yeah. The movie. But I haven't used it.
Yeah.
I just know what it is. I think it sounds cool, though.
Would you, I mean, if you went to the store and you saw a guy you liked, would you send him a message like that?
I wouldn't say anything in person because I just get shy and weird.
Right.
But if they came out to me, I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
But I do think the app offers that ability to then communicate, you know, for somebody like me who's just too shy in person to be like, yeah. Hey.
Well, you may be shy, but I mean, you're a woman, so you don't have to worry too much about it because guys are the ones making the moves.
I don't know that they are anymore, especially in LA. I feel like they expect girls to come up to them. No, let's stick with protocol. You come up to us.
Yeah.
You also propose marriage.
That's true.
Let's keep our role.
So you like the tradition?
In some ways, yes. Like, yeah. Do I want to be the CEO of a company? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't want to propose to anybody. I want them to do it.
Yeah. So you're traditional in that way. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you. I think most women are like that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe if you were CEO of a company, they would expect you to.
Yeah. There's propose. Just a lot of rules that have changed and gotten a little like muddy over the years, I think.
Yeah.
People also, men are, I think, afraid too of like female empowerment and all of that.
Yeah. Some, like, yeah, maybe some men are.
I'm at the point where I'm like, I need a man that's more manly than me.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But why? Are you meeting like feminine men and stuff like that?
Yeah. Or people that, I mean, in LA, of course, you know, we have those aspiring people or people that haven't gotten all of their ducks in a row.
Right.
The nice way of saying it. And I just feel like I can't date somebody that is less organized than I am or less in control of their life or not on a path to success.
Right.
If you're not on a path to success, move out of my way.
Yeah, huh?
Because I am.
Yeah.
So I don't need dead weight and I don't need somebody that like can't add to my life.
Yeah, so you don't want to waste your time with somebody. Yeah.
I'm over that.
Yeah.
That phase has come and gone.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, you can even find me on Instagram and maybe we'll talk there.
There you
like go. All my photos. That's the way to my heart. It's through social media. At Jen the Jew on Instagram.
Jen the Jew. That's good.
Thanks.
How did you come up with that one?
A friend actually named me that because
really?
I would send her a bunch of like deals and fun things to do in the city. And I'm like, we can do it for less. Let's be creative with our money. So she's like, oh my God, you're so Jen the Jew.
God.
And now it's a joke. Some people are offended by it. But
yeah,
like, if you're offended by it, go away.
Yeah, it's,
I don't care.
It's a total stereotype, but
right.
Okay.
And it's hysterical because how funny are our stereotypes? There's some truth to them, obviously. I'm also Jen the Jew with a Christmas tree. Like on Instagram, if you want to see a picture of my Christmas tree, check it out. I just love comedy and stereotypes and addressing things that people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because we should laugh about this stuff. It's not that serious.
That's true. That's true. So, well, it depends what it is. Some things are serious.
Right. Some things are. And some things are actually offensive.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Mine is not because I don't take it that way.
Yeah, it doesn't offend me at all.
Good. And you're Jewish.
And you're the one who calls yourself that. There's nothing
right.
wrong with that. It's
exactly.
not like other people are calling you that in a derogatory way or anything.
Exactly. I'm saying it in like a cute, funny way. Like,
right.
I'm Jen the Jew.
Jen the Jew with the Christmas tree.
Exactly.
There you go.
And then on Twitter, if you want to talk to me, it's just Jennifer Golden. Jennifer with one
N. You can be an inspiration to other Jews, too.
Thanks. Well, they're the ones that coincidentally are most offended.
Yeah.
They're like, why would you say that? My mom's friends are like, why would you write that?
Yeah.
I'm like, because it's funny.
Yeah.
Because I'm cute. I don't know.
It's funny.
Just laugh about it.
Yeah. I know. But, you know, so they've got all these dating sites and everything. But I guess I'll tell you what the problem is with them is when they're attractive women, then they get like a million responses. And when a woman doesn't get a million responses, then she goes after guys. And all I get is really homely looking women. OK. And so it doesn't work for me. Not like it used to when I was younger, you know. No, a lot of them look like they hit the wall, man.
See, and that's the thing, too. It's like judging people based on their photo.
And their looks.
Like, A, is that photo even, like, accurate? Who knows?
Right.
I mean, I had gone on dates, like, with Tinder people that were like, oh, wow, you actually look at your picture. I'm like, I don't know what I was supposed to post. What are people doing? I don't know. But then there are people that are possibly homely looking that might even be awesome people that like...
No, I'm not saying they wouldn't be awesome, but you wouldn't be attracted to them.
Right.
You know? So what's the point?
I don't know. See, that's the thing for me. I can't do social media or online dating or any of that because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to think about you in person.
That's true, yeah. Well, so you try, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, usually you start with the looks. You go, okay, well, I need to pre-qualify this person. Let me see a picture.
Right.
So that's what I mean, you know.
Totally.
Or women older than I am, which is, come on.
They're going to live longer than you, though, so.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All right. Anyway, well, this is it for this week, folks. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great weekend. You too, Jennifer. Don't get into too much trouble.
I will try.
And we'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning.